Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Sam Littlefield, who is the president and CEO at Littlefield Agency. Littlefield specializes in digital marketing for B2B companies and reimagining all things marketing for its clients. Today, we're going to be discussing Sam's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Sam.
I'm excited to be here, Julia. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Of course.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Entrepreneur, right? There's a lot of them these days. There are so many moving pieces. As an entrepreneur, my wife's an entrepreneur. She just started a business. We're faced with a lot of different challenges that the average Joe is facing on a daily basis. Yes. The inspiration to write is every company out there, especially in the world of marketing that I'm dealing with, they're facing some sort of challenge. And we have an agency here that are able to provide those solutions to those challenges. So, you know, technology has changed so much in the last 10 years. Marketing has changed so much in the last, 2 years alone just with COVID. But I look at that as an awesome opportunity because there's so many companies out there that are good at marketing. They think that they know the ins and outs of marketing, but there are so many moving pieces nowadays that I look at that as just a really cool opportunity for us as an agency to inspire, delight, reimagine all things marketing for our clients. So I think it's, like I said, lots of challenges, but there's a lot of really fun times too. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely. So, you know, tell us, how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Yes. So it's, I'll try to give you like the 5-minute version. That could be a 30-minute version because I'm a talker. I was born and raised here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went to school at the University of San Diego. I wanted a change of pace. I wanted to get out of the Midwest. So I went to the West Coast many moons ago. And weirdly enough, my dad always told me to never get into this business. My dad started our agency 42 years ago. I wanted to, you know, live and breathe it for the entire time that I've grown up here in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. So I set out on a mission to San Diego. I was an English major, and it's really interesting because my senior year going into college, I was in business class, and these guys, they were actually people that went to the University of San Diego, were from all over the world, and these guys were from Dubai. And we were talking about it, and like, yeah, you're an English major, so you're going to be a teacher or you're going to be a journalist, and I didn't want to do either of those things. I was super involved on campus. And so I went to the career department immediately the next day thinking, okay, you know, I've got 8 months to figure my life out. What in the world am I going to do? And I was dead set on staying in San Diego for at least the foreseeable future. So I actually went out and competed against 2,000 people and was one of 14 that got a job working for Gallo Winery, E&J Gallo. Really, really cool sales experience. They have one of the best sales management programs, arguably in the nation.
Very
so,
cool.
I did that. It was, you know, sounds sexy and winery, Sonoma, Napa, all that stuff. I was actually stationed down in San Diego, which was great. Yeah. But my call times were 4:30 in the morning to 2:00. And all of my friends, you know, were working normal working hours. So about 7 months went by and I was like, I'm out of here. It wasn't my cup of tea. It was a good learning experience. But I was actually dating a girl at the time who had an inn at a massive digital marketing company in downtown San Diego. The name of the agency is Mirum. They were owned by J. Walter Thompson, eventually got purchased by Wunderman. And so we had a, I went there as a, an account guy and a business development, eventually business development associate. And I was there in downtown San Diego for 2 years. The office was 175 people. There were 2,000 employees worldwide. We worked on amazing brands, Mazda, CBRE, Johnson & Johnson, Cobra Puma Golf, Qualcomm Technologies, massive companies with big budgets.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. So many different moving pieces. I shortly became single at the time, so I was just grinding, working 60 to 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I fell in love with the new business aspect. Like I said, every client out there has a challenge and we have a solution. And then I woke up one day at the ripe old age of 25 years old, and San Diego is an awesome place to live, but it's expensive. And so my dad happened to be at a conference in Palm Springs, which was just 2 hours northeast of San Diego.
Yep.
And I drove to him, and he had no idea that I was thinking about moving. And I just said, hey, I fall in love with this marketing world, and I think I'd like to come back and give it a try at your agency. And he about fell out of his chair. It was a really cool father-son moment for us.
Yeah, so, totally.
Actually, next week is my 6-year anniversary here at the agency. So I moved all my stuff back to Tulsa and started working. I started here as an account manager. I worked on two of our biggest accounts. I transitioned into a business development role because my passion is new business. I love bringing on new clients. And then I became president of the agency 3 years ago. And I have been buying out my dad for 2 years now.
That's so cool. That's such a cool story. So how are you growing Littlefield Agency? You know, how are you always working to bring on new clients into the agency so that you can grow it?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question right there. You know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I was a young kid. I was excited. I was going to go conquer the world. I became president of the agency in January of 2020. And we all know what happened in March of 2020.
Yep.
I had a rude awakening. I was ready to go, and COVID happened. And my first responsibility as president is we had 40% of our business disappear. People, you know, we didn't know what the world was doing. The whole world shut down, as we all know.
Yeah.
So one of the first things I had to do, I had to let go of 5 people. That was awful. Our business was significantly down. The PPP money really honestly saved us. We were able to break even that year. But then 2021, right? That's when opportunity came knocking, and we kind of started to get somewhat back into a normal world. And I know we're not quite there yet, but people started marketing again.
Yeah.
So on the new business front, our strategy has changed a lot. We've actually pivoted. We're a completely different agency now than we were 3 years ago. We were specializing in restaurant marketing. So all things digital marketing for restaurants. We had a big Midwestern barbecue chain. We had a big entertainment chain here in the Midwest as well. And that proved valuable. We learned a ton. But restaurants were obviously affected during COVID. So a lot of restaurants and entertainment chains took all their marketing in-house to save money, which, hey, I totally get it. They gotta do what they gotta do.
Yeah.
So we had kind of open the kimono and really just analyze ourselves and what are we doing best. And at the end of the day, our 3 largest clients are in the B2B manufacturing space. And so we pivoted there, and we're really focused on B2B manufacturing, which, you know, it doesn't sound sexy, but it actually is really an amazing vertical to be in. There's some awesome brands. There's thousands of manufacturers. We have 3,000 manufacturers here in the state of Oklahoma. Now, obviously, not every one of them are massive manufacturers like John Deere and Caterpillar, et cetera. But we really started to see some growth in that B2B manufacturing space. So as I bring on new clients, which this year is different, it's my pipeline is very, I'm going to call it cautious right now. Mm-hmm. People are ready to make a decision, but they're waiting to see what this recession does, we're obviously in record inflation numbers right now.
Yeah.
But our new business strategy, we have a big paid media buy going towards our agency, which is bringing in some great leads. And we completely repositioned ourselves 4 months ago into this B2B manufacturing space. So it's early. I'm being patient, but I think if we continue focusing, I think it's going to bear some good fruit.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Okay.
That's and a then, massive pivot.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it. That's awesome. And then, so how do you, you know, maintain really happy clients who, you know, hopefully at the end of the day are then going to bring in referrals for you?
That is an awesome question. So, and a very timely question. You know, I had an epiphany probably a few months ago, and I heard this at a stat. I mentioned I'm in a CEO network group, and it's 40 agencies worldwide, 30 are here in North America. We meet twice a year, and it's kind of a best practices. How do you run a better agency? How can you better serve your clients, et cetera?
Yeah.
And there's a stat right now with the work from home environment, flex work, et cetera. There, whether it's one or two person shops or 1,000 person shops, there's 60,000 advertising agencies in the United States, 60,000.
Wow.
So, to be completely honest and transparent, these agencies do what we do, right? A lot, some specialize in certain things where we consider ourselves a full service agency. But I had this, like I said, epiphany of, okay, why do clients return year over year and continue doing business with us? And at the end of the day, it's the relationship. And we have the talent to do the job. Mm-hmm. We have to keep providing great results and great work for our clients. Hands down, no questions asked. That's part of our daily responsibility. But at the end of the day, last week I met with our account service team and I said, guys, the most important thing right now is, yes, I, as Sam Littlefield, have to go and get new business, mm-hmm. but our clients are the most important people in our lives besides our family, of course. And yep. So it's that relationship, and it's the relationship beyond the boardroom, you know, forget the work, the working part of it is, what are we doing to better immerse ourselves with our clients, to get mm-hmm. to know them better, to understand their challenges, and to help. At the end of the day, our clients are very competitive people, and we're very competitive people on the agency side. Yep. And it's our job to make sure that they're beating all of their competitors, because at the end of the day, that's why they get up every morning and get out of bed.
I love that. Okay. And then, so how do you, you know, build that trust when you have a new client that you're working with, since, you know, like you mentioned, there's so many digital marketers. You hear these stories about, you know, oftentimes small businesses getting burned by these, you know, fly-by-night digital marketers. So, you know, how do you build that trust with a new client?
Yeah. So the first thing is, and as I've had three new business calls in the last week, right? I'm not a salesy person. I don't come across as salesy. We have 22 employees here in Tulsa. Not one of them comes across salesy. We've had employees in the past that come across for that hard sale that, you know, hits. It's almost like we're trying to, you know, take money out of their pockets.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing in cultivating the relationship from the start is, we have our client's business. That is the first and foremost, most important thing for us. And what are their priorities? Marketing is great. Marketing is so important. We're teeing up leads for the sales team. But you know, how are we aligning our marketing goals with their business objectives? That's the number one thing that we ask ourselves. And then, you know, at the end of the day, the client has final say. Our agency's job is to have an outside in perspective. Mm-hmm. Of course, client gets to make decision at the end of the day, but we're always going to push for better work. We're going to respectfully do it, but in the sense of, hey, client thinks this, hey, well, let's think about this perspective, right?
Yeah.
I think when you're looking out for the best interest of their business and they realize that, there's no better partnership. I had a call last week and it ended up not being the right fit from a budget standpoint. I sent the prospect an email early this week saying, hey, really enjoyed the call, but we're just not going to be the right fit budget wise. And she got back to me and she said, man, I'm disappointed, because you were the first agency that I talked to that didn't just go straight into agency BS. And why me? She said, you listened.
I love that.
Thinking about our business, you're asking the right questions. And yep. And like I said, it's a two-way street. The client's interviewing us, we're interviewing them. Yep. If you go to our website, Julia, you'll see that all the most important thing to us are two things: great relationships and even greater work. So that at the end of the day, when we have that mutual beneficial relationship, that's yep. where we do work for our best clients.
That's awesome. Yeah. It sounds like just, you know, having that really genuine transparency, and then also, you know, just your client's best interest at heart, of course. So, Yeah, that sounds like you guys have a really great approach that's going to help build that trust, that loyalty, and that long-term working relationship down the road.
That's what we're hoping for. Yes.
That's the goal. Awesome. So if you had any, you know, tips for any up and coming agency owners who are just getting started for agency growth, what would that be?
On the growth side of things, you know, especially I'm thinking on just for new business purposes, it's brutal out there. It's, I hear so many no's. I get, and you know, we live in the day of emails, right? Emails is basically a text message these days.
Yeah.
And you got to think of the clients, right? The clients that you're going after, they're getting bombarded. I probably get like 200 sales emails a day from different vendors, partners, and they're sleazy. And it's just, it's almost frustrating. I actually have a client that we forward sales emails to each other to see which one's the worst for the week. I mean, it's like, some of them are that, but you know, as an agency owner, you gotta, I read this stat one time and it's true. And as much as you're like bothering a prospect, which I no longer consider it bothering, is like 7 to 10 touch points for a prospect to engage.
Because
when they first get an initial email, an initial phone call, whatever it may be, they're not ready to buy. They have no idea who Littlefield Agency is. But to your point, you brought up a great point. You're building trust. I have some prospects for 2 years. I reach out once every 45 days. I haven't heard back from any of them in 2 years. I know they still work there. But again, I'm inviting them. It's thoughtful outreach. It's not, hey, Julia, checking in, you know, would love to grab coffee next week. That gets old. Hey, Julie, I was thinking about your business the other day and, you know, we wrote this white paper and I think it'd be beneficial for you to check it out. Again, I don't get the response back, but my whole point is, and my dad taught me this, is not everyone's looking to change agencies every day, but when that comes for that person, Sam Littlefield needs to be top of mind. And so we have a client relationship. We've had them for 20 years. They're an amazing client here in Oklahoma. My dad called on this client every 6 months for 10 years.
That's so cool. Wow. That's inspiring. Just having that drive and that determination to just keep at it.
And it's a grind. It's frustrating. It's tough. Some days and it's funny, the days where I'm just kind of beat down, like, oh my God, I need a new piece of business. Something comes knocking. I'm a big believer in new business karma. I really am. When you start chasing one way, something's going to come in the other way.
Yeah, I agree. And I really resonated with what you said about how, you know, not everyone's ready to change agencies all the time, but you got to be top of mind. So you got to just keep that outreach, keep building those relationships and delivering that value, you know, having those best interests, like what you guys have towards your clients and prospects. And it compounds over time. So that's awesome. I love that. Exactly. Pardon?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm aligned.
Perfect. So, you know, what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge? I know we talked about, you know, COVID and having to pivot from there. Are there any, you know, big challenges that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
Yeah. So for me personally, my biggest challenge is patience. We just relaunched our website 3 months ago. We completely changed our new business strategy and we're starting to see some things come to fruition, but you know, it's been 90 days and I'm not the most patient person. So I've got to sometimes, and here's the thing, I have an amazing, our team here is awesome and they're good. They gut check me. So when I come in, you know, bull in a china closet, and they're like, hey, you need to slow down and let's think this through. Let's think about this perspective. Let's think about that. I'm a big believer healthy tension is good, right? I use that word tension intentionally. And I've got the team here that says, hey, we need to try this for at least set amount of time. So that's a big part of it, challenge-wise. Sometimes it's trusting the process. I mean, it's tough out there. I think it's gotten more difficult to run an agency efficiency since COVID because of the remote work of hybrid. Like you said, someone comes in the middle of the night and says, hey, I can offer this for half the price of Littlefield Agency.
Yeah.
But I'm also a firm believer, and I mentioned earlier, the right fit client. And the right fit client sees the value in the services that we provide. And we've had people, we had a client last year, we helped them out tremendously. They had a tough 2020, obviously. 2021 was their best sales year ever in the 20-year history of their company. Mm-hmm. And then I got a phone call from their CEO. And it was about this time last year, maybe September, October. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, you guys have been amazing, but we want to cut your fee in half. And I was like, what? You just had your best sales year. Wow. And so we let them go because we said they obviously don't see the value in our services. So, but then again, I just said goodbye to revenue. It's a balance. I mean, there's just, I call it good revenue and bad revenue. And yeah. Bad revenue, no matter how much money it is, it's not fun revenue. And we've had some instances.
Yeah, no. And it's hurtful to your team and for morale as well. Bingo. I agree.
It totally is. And my job is to protect our team, and I'll stand up for anyone on the, I point over here because they're all right over there. but the cool thing is our team knows that I have their back. I don't have any time for BS. I don't have any time for mean or rude or ungrateful clients. It's just not in our nature. And to your point, the work gets bad when our client treats us bad. And then it's a tough relationship after that. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, whenever you have, a prospect who might be shopping around for, different prices, you don't really have a great relationship with them, a strong relationship at this point. How do you really set yourselves apart from other agencies? Is there a way that, when you're quoting them that you stand apart? I know that you really delve into asking a lot of great questions. Is there anything else that, that you'd like to discuss?
So I look at it, like a resume, right? If you're applying for a job and you throw your resume in the stack and you don't know what that HR department has, they might have 50 resumes and they're going through and they're just hauling through them. They got to make a decision.
Yeah.
So when I talk to a prospect, I try to be very intentional in that initial phone call and do my homework, understand what their pain points are. Mm-hmm. And then, one thing that I really try to do is, and I feel it out, I have better luck when I'm able to walk a prospect through a proposal. Hey, Julia, I'm ready to present this $50,000 scope of work. And when would be a good time for you in the next week to chat through? If they go, hey, sorry, super busy, just send it over via email, we're not going to win the business. They're going to go for the low cost provider. And so I go, hey, you know what? If you can't take the time to do this, then I don't think it's worth me throwing it in. And sometimes they go, hey, you know what? Okay, I'll make 20 minutes next week and we'll jump on a call. And some I don't get an email back and then I don't submit a proposal because at that point, quite frankly, I've wasted my time. I try to vet those people out earlier on in the process. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street and my team eventually has to work with these people. So I want to make sure they're grateful for the hard work that our agency ultimately does.
Yeah, I think that makes so much sense.
RFPs are hard. We're participating. We just won one 2 months ago. We mm-hmm. didn't know the client. Luckily, we did have a referral that had worked with the client, so I think that helped us. But we're seeing more RFPs. We don't, unless we think we have a legitimate opportunity. We don't often compete because we have a client that's a government entity here in town, and when they legally have to issue an RFP, but we have an in because they're our client, and they'll sometimes get 20 to 50 responses. That's insane. I mean, that's, wow. there's no way you can separate yourselves. Cause at that point they're just looking for either they've got an existing relationship or the low cost provider.
Yeah. That's a huge challenge for sure.
Yeah,
it's interesting. So where do you see Littlefield Agency in 5 years time?
So timely, quite. Your questions are awesome. Two weeks from now, we have what I call Vision Day. Vision Day is our executive offsite for the year, and we kind of look at that 3 and 5 year trajectory. So we have 22 employees right now. 5 years from now, which is what, 2027, which that just sounds silly to me. It just seems like eons away.
I know.
If I could write it up, I'd love between 30 and 40 employees. I like 22. It's really close knit. But mm-hmm. we have some smaller departments that I think, you know, it's, sometimes it's just, it's brutal. It's tough. And they've got a lot of work on their plate. So I'd love for them to have some support. I've got some revenue goals in mind. I won't publicly share those, but I've got some numbers that I have. We just hired a new head of video who is amazing, and we're looking to grow our video department tremendously. I'd love to, you know, have just so many prospects and new business coming through. Just, hey, we, Littlefield Agency is awesome, but boy, we're here for your video production services. I look at that. We have clients, like I said, we're in Oklahoma. We have clients in Seattle. We have clients in Kansas, Texas, obviously here in Oklahoma, Missouri, the Northeast, et cetera. So we're all over. I don't see myself opening up another, call it headquarters. I like it here in the Midwest. The people are great. The values are wonderful. The cost of living here is exceptional. So I see us staying here in Tulsa, potentially expanding our space just a little bit. We have a few years left on our lease, but you know, at the end of the day, no matter how big we get, right? If you and I are sitting here 5 years from now and I do have 40 employees, the most important thing to me, and everyone here at the agency knows this, is the culture aspect. When we don't have good culture fit here at the agency, it never works out. I've tried to force it because last year we had a lady who was super talented and damn good at her job. And I knew when I hired her, my gut, and I'm a gut person. My gut told me this is not going to be a good culture fit. And 6 months later, I had to let her go. And so that is, and everyone, the exec team knows it, our employees know it, that we got to do great work for our clients. But we got to all not only get along, but we got to like each other and do great work together. So that is a very important thing for me. And my 5-year goal is to continue maintaining. If we grow, I really do want that. We're a family owned business. My dad started this. I bought him out. My sister runs our finance in HR. My mom ran our finance in HR for 20 years. And then, you know, everyone else, of course, is not family, but they are family. I think that's just an important, and so many companies say that. I think about the big tech companies.
Yep.
They're a number, and no one's a number here. And that's the way I want to maintain it.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I love the 5-year plan you've put in place. And I love that you have those, you know, those family values and you're living them, because it's quite literally, you know, a legitimate family owned business. So that's really interesting. And we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but before we move on to the fast five, I'll have 5 rapid fire questions for you in a moment. Do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
For all of those, and I'm assuming are a big chunk of agency folks, it's a grind. But my dad always told me, when times are good, and I got to experience that, it's so much fun. I mean, there is no better business to be in. And when times are tough, right, you got to just put your head down and keep marching on. But there's a certain type of agency person. People that work on the client side would never work well in an agency. And we talk about it all the time in my CEO network group. You know, agencies, there's a lot of moving pieces. There's tough times and there's great times. But at the end of the day, there's, you know, life's short, and there's no better way to spend 8 to 10 hours of your day than at an agency. So keep on keeping on.
I love that. All right. Well, now we're going to move on to the fast 5. So I have 5 rapid fire questions for you. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Okay. So I know listeners can't see this, but I have the book right here. So it's called Traction. It's written by Gina Wigman. Have you read it before?
Yes. It's a great book.
It's an amazing book. I read it cover to cover. I'm almost through it twice now. We are structuring this is about to completely kind of change how we structure our processes here at the agency.
Nice.
My exec team is wrapping it up this week. We have a meeting on Thursday to discuss it. This will kind of inform our vision day. I've sent this to our clients. I met with a guy recently on kind of how to better scale our business, grow. I want smart growth, not aggressive growth. He goes, easy. Read this book and it'll change your life. And boy, like that sounded very 30,000 foot view kind of frou-frou, but man, it is, I think if you actually implement the takeaways, and we're about to see this, we could create a really cool agency here.
Yeah, we've implemented EOS within ReviewRobin right from the start. And yeah, it's great. It just gives you that clarity. You know, you set that vision, you work backwards, you've got those weekly check-ins. And, you know, yeah, it's a little bit overwhelming at first, but you just gotta power through it, honestly. And it's the best decision you can make as a business owner.
Julia, let me ask you this. Did you guys actually have someone from EOS come and train you, or did you guys just implement it internally yourselves?
No, we implemented it ourselves. And, you know, early on, we consciously chose not to implement the entire system because we were a small team. But yeah, basically, we've just slowly implemented the whole thing as we've grown. And yeah, it's been amazing.
Okay, that's great to hear. Oh, very inspiring. I love to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have traction, and I've read a lot of business books. I've read a lot of just personal, professional, but this one takes the cake.
Great recommendation. I love that.
Awesome.
And what does your morning routine look like?
So it's changed a little bit. I'm a runner, and the reason it's changed. We have an 18-month-old son. His name's Matthew. He's the man and it's awesome. But when we're up in the morning, we are focused on our son and getting him to daycare. So, but we're up between 5:30 and 6. I usually like to get a morning run in. If I can't get a morning run in, I get one in. I'll skip my lunch and just eat at my desk and I'll get a quick run in there. But we're out the door between 6:50 and 7. I drop my son off right around there at the latest 7:15. And then I am up here at the agency and cruising, starting the day. I usually have some meetings starting between 7:45 and 8, and then I blink and it's 6 o'clock and I head home. So it's hectic, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's pretty fun.
Amazing. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, so when I was in San Diego, the CEO of the agency that I work for, his name's Dan Cobby, and he is spectacular. He sold the agency, like I said, to JWT and Wonderman. And then he's already started, he's an entrepreneur through and through. Literally born in Minneapolis, moved to San Diego, basically replicated the agency structure and kind of BS'd his way through and made it and landed some obviously amazing clients. And he's already scaling another digital agency with awesome. This guy has got it figured out, and it's not only on the professional front, personally, emotionally, spiritually, he's a visionary. And it's when you're in a room with Dan, it's contagious. He's for sure has been a mentor for me.
Very cool. I love that. And what is your favorite online tool?
Yeah. So I've become a sucker for HubSpot. HubSpot is, and I'm not just like advocating on, call it any CRM, Salesforce, you know, Pardot, whatever.
Yeah.
HubSpot is amazing. It's so insightful. It's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
We use it across your agency. We're implementing it for clients. But it's one of my favorite tools to use. I'm in it basically all day.
I love HubSpot. We use it as well. And it's such a great tool. I know CRMs in general are so powerful, but I know I'm the same. I love HubSpot.
It's cool. You know, 2 weeks is their annual inbound conference up in Boston. And unfortunately I've got a guy from the agency going, but super bummed because there's some cool keynote speakers. And obviously that's a great conference, but yeah, it's a pretty, when used correctly, it's a sophisticated and powerful tool.
Yeah, absolutely. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
You know, I'm actually headed over to Oklahoma State University later to speak to a bunch of, their advertising club. So sophomore, juniors, and seniors.
Oh, cool.
And I always, my takeaway in those instances, and I wish I would have known this when I graduated from college, is you don't have to have it figured out. And I have to keep telling myself that because I don't have it figured out. Who knows where I'm gonna be 5 years from now? Mm-hmm. Knows what this agency looks like 5 years from now. I'm the kind of guy that likes to have it figured out, but I understand there's curveballs. And, I always think, Julia, you go from, you know, grade school to high school, college, if people choose to do that. And then all of a sudden you graduate from college and it's like, all right, like go and do it. And it's just like, wow, this is intimidating and tough. And so I don't know. I think it's important that for people to know that you don't have to have it all figured out, and you just, it's going to throw curveballs. Life's going to throw things at you, and it's how you adapt and pivot and flex is, how you get through it makes you a better person. So I always try to keep that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Yeah, like, you know, set those goals, but just, yeah, know that you're going to fail and have so many learning experiences along the way at you know, certain points. But yeah, you learn so much from those experiences.
Yeah, no, it's the truth.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sam. It was a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. So thank you again.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.